Welcome to another episode of Unearthing Paranormalcy. I'm Amy.
I'm Dave.
I'm Chen.
And I'm Eli.
And today we have a very awesome episode. We're going to be talking about Mothman. That's kind of the reported sound that he makes. Thank you, Chen. We first talked about Mothman in the very first episode, because I told everybody that was my favorite cryptid. And I was like, we're going to do an episode on Mothman. And here we are. We're doing our episode on Mothman, starting out the year. So, unlike normally, Dave didn't do the research for this one.
What?
Nope, I didn't do any research. I've been working on reading a book.
It took all of his effort to read. he is working on his Madame Blavatsky. Yes, there we go. That episode, he's reading that information. I read two books.
I read none.
I read The Mothman Prophecies by John Keel, and I read Mothman Real Life Sightings. Now,
Amy, the last books you read were the ones about past life regressions, correct?
Uh-huh. So it's been a while since I read a book. But now, the Mothman real life story was really only like 30 pages, but it was like 30 pages of different accounts of Mothman sightings.
Yeah.
Now, the Mothman Prophecies is by John Keel, which is the movie Mothman Prophecies with Richard Gere from what, early 2000s, somewhere in there. I don't remember exactly when it was made. Is based off of him. And he is actually a ufologist who was sent to the Point Pleasant area to start researching, to research different light anomalies and UFO sightings that have been seen. And while he was there, the Mothman sightings started. And so then he, you know, a bunch of things started happening at once while he was there. So he got really sucked into the Mothman and the whole Point Pleasant area.
He became the Mothman.
No, I found it interesting that he was there before the phenomenon started.
Yeah, I think there may have been like one or two sightings before he got there.
So he is the Mothman.
Oh.
He is the Man-Man, yeah.
The Man-Man?
The Man-Man.
The Mothman.
There you go.
The Muffin Man?
Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man!
He lives under A Lane.
I could go with some muffins right now.
Muffin.
Muffins sound good.
Yeah.
All right, so according to his book, Mothman Prophecies, the Native Americans knew something about West Virginia that nobody else seemed to know. Modern anthropologists have worked out maps of Indian occupancy pre-Columbian America, so before Columbus and the Europeans came to America, kind of how they spread out naturally. And these maps are based off of languages spoken, things like that. The Shawnee and Cherokee occupied areas to the south and southwest. I'm going to say this name wrong. I've never heard of this tribe. So I apologize if anybody's a member of this tribe and I butcher this name. But the Monacan settled to the east of and the Erie and Conestogas claimed areas north of West Virginia. I mean, even the desert, you know, you've got in the far west, were occupied by the Navajo and the Hopi and all of that. But there's a spot on the map. There's only one spot on the map that is listed uninhabited, and that is West Virginia.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't West Virginia surrounded by rivers?
I believe so, but I am no geography expert.
Okay, because I'm sitting here thinking of how would they know the border of a state that didn't exist yet?
True. But maybe it's just a general area.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at with if it's surrounded by rivers. It's like, yeah, don't cross the river.
Yeah, because some of those lines could overlap, but the majority of that area probably wasn't inhabited.
No. Yeah.
Now, there are some Cherokee legends of them coming across a group of very pale humans that were very sensitive to the sun and the light. And in some of the stories, the Cherokees actually kind of abused them and picked on them and enslaved them,
you
things
mean
like
vampires?
That. Well, that was something I started thinking,
that's what
actually.
That's what I was thinking about.
And yeah. Those people supposedly fled into the Appalachians. So maybe those people went towards West Virginia.
So we could go vampire hunting in West Virginia now.
or they were either vampire or extremely Irish.
Wait, were they drunk? Did it kind of explain drunkenness in that?
They did not, no.
Damn it.
Because as we know, when the Irish came over here, they started settling into the areas of Appalachia long before any other white man went there.
Yeah.
Long before the Americans even went into the region.
I know that they said that there's also, there are stories of a albino family or a group of albinos that live up in the Appalachian Mountains. So I don't know if maybe that's like they're descendants of these people. I don't know. I didn't really dig too much into that. I just found that really interesting that that area was vacant of Native Americans, because that's going to be a very heavily wooded, fertile soil, lots of animals and game. You would think that that would be a really nice place to settle. I've personally never been to West Virginia, but
me either. I hear it's nice.
I hear that whole area is nice. I've actually I've never been east of New Orleans. New Orleans is far east as I've ever been. So
I believe it's pronounced Nolens.
Nolens? I don't know.
Nolens.
You're from there, around that area. Nolens. So. All right, Nolens. All right, that's as far east as I've ever been. Yeah. So I don't know.
I've just heard the song before, and I just want to go up there and find me a Mount Mama.
West Virginia. Mount Mama.
Take me home, baby.
Yeehaw. So, yes. Now, there's a lot of history surrounding the Point Pleasant, West Virginia area. And if I accidentally mess up and say Point Place, Wisconsin, for some reason I did that a lot in the very first episode.
That's that 70s show.
Yeah. And that's a fake town.
That's a fake town. But there happened to be Mothman sightings in Wisconsin. So I might get things mixed up at some point in time. So no, just catch me on it. Call me on it.
Hello, Wisconsin.
Disclaimer.
But, okay. On October 10th, 1779, there was the Battle of Point Pleasant. 1,000 Virginia militiamen fought under Colonel Andrew Lewis to hold off forces of Shawnee and Mingo Braves of approximately the same number. They were led by Chief Cornstalk.
All the good names were taken. I wouldn't be running with bear. Taken. Silver Fox. No. Cornstalk? That one's good. It's like trying to make a PlayStation account. All the good ones are taken.
Does corn even grow in that area?
I'm sure it does. I mean, that was part of like that's close to where like the Pilgrims and stuff were.
I guess if they're more on the Ohio side, maybe, but I don't think corn grows in the mountains very well.
I don't know.
Can we do Silver Fox with the O being a zero?
The man is dead. Okay. No. You can make fun of him all you want.
I apologize. He cursed, anybody might be offended.
He cursed the land.
Now I'm getting cursed.
This event is remembered as one of the first battles of the American War of Independence. Chief Cornstalk was said
in
to have...
1797?
1774.
Oh, I thought you said 1797.
1774. Chief Cornstalk was said to have cursed the land before he fell. Now, I just talked about how there were no Native Americans in that area, right?
Yeah.
So this threw me off. So I was like, okay, but how did, you know... Well, apparently, the British and the colonials were recruiting Native Americans to fight for them. Mm-hmm. So this was just a group of Native Americans that fought for the British. So they were just there fighting the Virginia militiamen. Now in 1920,
the Clinton administration?
In 1920, Clinton became the home of the world's first petrochemical plant, the United Carbide Corporation. Now, I'm not sure what a petrochemical plant is. Somebody want to look that up? Because I meant to do that and I forgot.
Petrochemical?
Uh-huh. I'm guessing it would
be gas. Oil. Like
oil,
man.
Yeah.
Gas and oil. Let's look it up.
Petrochemical?
Let's look it up.
I would assume it's something made with the gas, with the oil.
It could just be styrofoam or something that they make.
Yeah.
Because that's made with...
But it was the world's first, and it was...
Converts natural resources such as crude oil, natural gas, ores, minerals into products with a wide range of applications.
So, yeah. Basically, they're making... Your plastics or your styrofoams and...
Back then, probably not, oil. But...
Yeah, well, yeah. But, you know, your cleaners and industrial cleaners and stuff like that, I'm sure, too. Yeah, motor oils and...
Which paraffin wax comes from a byproduct of making gasoline.
Yeah.
And then we
put our hands in it.
Yeah, and then we scent them and burn them as candles in our homes.
That's hot.
Yes, fire is hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot.
All right. And then also in World War II, Point Pleasant was the site of West Virginia's Ordnance Works, a munition manufacturing plant. Now, this manufacturing plant included over 40 bunkers that look like igloos or called igloos. They're underground, or they were underground, so you couldn't see them from above. It just like looked like rolling hills.
Yeah.
That they house explosives. Now, some reports say that they didn't move all the explosives out, and some of the explosives are still in these bunkers.
There's also reports about toxic chemicals being released from the bunkers, which we'll get into that a little bit later.
Stuff I got. But this area is called the TNT area. So a lot of sightings refer to the TNT area as where they've been spotted, or where Mothman has been spotted.
Now, and that's the old munitions storage facility.
And it was also, it became a National Guard post. There's a power plant. It's also referred to as the McClicton Wildlife Management Area or the Chief Cornstalk Wildlife Management Area.
So you're saying that there's a, like, is it, there's a forestry around that area?
Yeah, there's a wildlife preservation area around TNT.
Holy crap. Okay.
Which is part of the issue with the... They were supposedly leaking toxic materials from the bunkers into the waters to supply the preservation.
Mothman could be a mutated.
There's a crane that a lot of people believe it's a mutated crane that is the Mothman.
Yeah.
So it has a bright red head and then large wingspan already. Dark gray, light gray.
Now, in that Mothman Prophecies book, he reported people were actually seeing an ostrich-like bird in the area, like a week or two leading up to some of the very first sightings. Well, if you think of a crane, if you're thinking of a mutated crane, ostriches and cranes kind of have similar shapes.
Yeah.
You know, teenage the longer necks.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Crane. Teenage Mutant Ninja Crane.
Wasn't Crane his enemy?
Heroes and a half beak.
Enemies and a
half beak. Heroes with some wingspan.
Speaking of wingspan, Mothman is said to have a wingspan of 10 to 12 feet. That's a big wingspan. Yeah,
that's a huge bitch.
Now,
which I don't know for the size of the thing, not really, because there's like eagles have a longer wingspan than that.
Well, they say that this thing is about 7 to 8 feet tall, mm-hmm. with a wingspan of 10 to 11 feet, or 10 to 12 feet. Now, there's one case that I heard where he was standing on the center median, or like the center line of the road, and his wings reached either side of the road.
Yeah.
Which, me, is bigger than 12 feet, right?
A buzzard can do that, and a buzzard needs wings that big to fly. What I'm getting at is, how does this thing fly if its wingspan isn't even as tall as its frame?
A bumblebee is not supposed to fly either, but bumblebees fly.
Yeah, they got the honeys.
Magic.
Yes.
So there's reports of the Mothman actually not flapping his wings to fly at all.
There's reports.
Well,
the
reports that he just like hovers and like he just takes off from a standing position and doesn't flap his wings.
Like the
at
wings
all.
Is
See,
more
now
like
that is some alien type.
The wings, from what I grasp, are more of like a swimming thing. Like it's just to kind of propel him in a direction.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't so much flap them, except for like occasionally, from some of the sightings that I've read.
He just uses them to steer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
So he's kind of like a glider.
He's Batman.
No, 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 no. That's, is that the right song?
Yes.
You actually did it right this time.
Batman.
Well, I did it, and then I started thinking, no, I'm doing it in Spider-Man, like in my head, and I was like, that's not right.
No.
All right. So, do you remember, I think it was our first episode, I talked about how I swore I saw Mothman on our back porch.
Yeah.
Or on the back fence. All right. It was basically an owl.
I remember that.
Like basically there was an owl on our back fence, but when I opened the door, I just saw this giant wing thing take off and freaked me out. And I think I had just watched a Mothman documentary and I was like, oh my God, Mothman?
Oh God, not Mothman.
Not 2 + 4.
Mothman is way scarier than Mothman.
My only weakness. numbers.
Only way you can beat me is by dividing. No. Pindas!
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
I'm just thinking of a superhero named Math Man.
I'm sure he exists somewhere in some universe. All right. The very first sighting that I found of Mothman was in 1961, which is about 5 years before, like, the big onslaught of sightings. Now, the very first sighting was a father and daughter that happened to be driving through the Chief Cornstalk Wildlife Management area late one evening. They slowed their vehicle after spotting a large figure poised smack dab in the center line that was ahead of them. They were surprised, but the daughter didn't slow down. She just kept driving. They didn't know what this thing was. But she didn't have to worry about hitting it because it just took off and it like unfolded its wings. And this is the first story I was talking about, how it went from one side of the road to the other, the wingspan. And he just took and went straight up in the air and avoided being hit.
Wow. I'm more concerned that there is an fence around this place where they're storing munitions.
There is. There is a fence around a lot of it. It's kind of
so
like...
So they went through the fence and then were driving through
it. To get to the bunkers, there's like a fence around them and those are locked. Now, yeah. People go around the fence as they do. The TNT area, from what I've gotten from the reading that I've done, is, you know, here we have South Base. Well, we don't need more. The university tore down a lot of it.
Yeah.
But it's just a bunch of roads and it had a bunch of old abandoned bunkers. Not bunkers, but barracks.
Yeah.
It was like that. So it's just a bunch of old roads.
It's just old roads through a natural wildlife preservation. And then inside that preservation, there's the area called the TNT area.
Now, weren't
the
you...
roads go beside it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think Route 2 goes through
something
it.
Like that,
yeah, like there's like actually a highway that goes through this area.
But like the TNT area is sectioned off.
Where all the bunkers are is sectioned off and gated off.
Okay.
On November 1966, there were five men headed by lead gravedigger Kenneth Duncan that were out digging a grave in Clinton, West Virginia, when they described what appeared to be a brown man-like figure ascending from a nearby grove of trees and dive-bombed the group. This creature flew right over their heads. So they were able to get a pretty good look of it, and they described, you know, a humanoid with large wings and red glowing eyes.
And once again, it just proves the point that gravediggers have the coolest stories ever.
They were actually digging Kenneth's brother's grave.
Oh, really? That's kind of a
coincidence. Or his brother-in-law, yeah. Now, one of the most infamous sightings, I guess you would say, would be that of the Scarberries and the Mallets. Now, any documentary you see, you usually see Linda Scarberry in it.
Yeah.
She's usually like number one interviewee. This incident happened November 15th, 1966, at 10:30 p.m. The married couple of Steve and Mary Mallet and Roger and Linda Scarberry were out cruising through the town in Roger's 57 Chevy. And they were out near the McClintock Wildlife Management area.
What were they doing out there? Smoking jazz cigarettes?
They were just cruising. Cruising with me, baby.
It's a different time.
Yeah. I mean, heck, we used to do that. I mean, we would go cruising around town.
Well, yeah, when smoking weed, but
why
would you be doing it sober?
Weed. Now, oh, okay. I cruised and smoked cigarettes in high school.
Well, there you go. Smoking something.
They passed the old power plant, which is situated next to the National Guard Armory. They saw a large bird-like winged humanoid in the sky. It was shaped like a man, but bigger, Roger said later. Maybe 6.5-7 feet tall, and it had big wings folded against its back. But it was those eyes that got us, Linda declared. It was two big eyes like automobile reflectors. They were hypnotic, Roger continued. For a minute, we could only stare at it. I couldn't take my eyes off of it. Then Steve yelled, "Let's get out of here." The group took off and headed back to town. Suddenly they saw it or another one just like it, standing on a small hill near the road they'd hurtled past.
So there were two of them?
They don't know. It was either the same one flying very quickly, or it was another one.
I guess both possible.
Yeah. It spread its wings, or it spread its bat wings and took off straight into the air. Again, with that upward, like, helicopter takeoff. We were doing 100 miles per hour, Roger said, and that bird kept right up with us. It wasn't even flapping its wings. I could hear it making a sound, said Mrs. Mollett. It squeaked like a big mouse. It followed us right to the city limits, Roger went on. Funny thing, we noticed a dead dog by the side of the road there. A big dog. But when we came back minutes later, the dog was gone.
Oh, poor dog.
The group recalled seeing the body of a large dog on the roadside on its way into town. When they finally calmed down and they went back out, that dog was gone. So they stopped there and, like, got out and looked around. And now, this is where I have two different accounts. And I don't know if this is just different stories from the different sources. Like, if maybe they told different stories or if... I don't know how it works.
Or one person wrote it down, then the other person wrote it down later that day when they got back to the office.
Basically, one account says that they went in straight into town to the sheriff's office. And the other account says they went back out first and looked around and then went back to the sheriff's office.
The second one seems more...
Well, the report I heard was they went into town into... Actually, it was City Hall. And the report I heard was City Hall. It went to the sheriff, and then the sheriff went back out with them, is the story
well, see,
I heard. So
that was the
so
first one
third
that I heard.
Story.
That was like the first one I heard was that they went back to the sheriff, got the sheriff, and went back out there.
Because the report is that the sheriff believed them because this was such a small town, everybody knew everybody, and these people weren't troublemakers, they weren't known to lie. Yeah. So the sheriff 100% believed them and went out with them.
Now, another story that I heard was that they went back out there and saw it again. And this time it was a little bit more aggressive towards them and a little bit more territorial and protective. And that's when they went back and got the sheriff.
That would make sense if it would actually, if it's somewhat of a scavenger.
Yeah.
Because if it's a scavenger, it's going to protect its meal.
Yeah. If it just got that dog.
Yeah.
And it's taking the dog back. And it,
that would make, that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now... They said that, you know, again, they heard the sound of a giant mouse, but it chased them off. And then when their headlights hit it, it seemed to startle it, and it took off and ran away from them, is what they said in that story. And then that's when they went back to get the sheriff.
So it ran instead of flew that
yes. time. Now, with the sheriff, Deputy Millard Halston, they followed them back out to the TNT area. They looked around, you know, they didn't see anything that time. But when he turned on his radio, there was a loud screeching sound that actually drowned out the dispatcher. That sounded just like this noise that they had heard originally.
Yeah, I have an account like that as well.
Yeah. So he was like, okay, he felt a little uneasy, but he turned off the radio. He hopped back in his cruiser, went back to town and wrote his report. The next day, Sheriff George Johnson called a press conference to talk about this giant bird that had a sighting out. It was at that point that a journalist gave the creature the name of Mothman from the Mothman character off of the Batman TV series.
Mm.
So that's where Mothman came from. As I was sitting there doing Mothman research, and all of a sudden all these, you know... Batman. Comics started showing up, and I'm like, no, this is not the Mothman that I want. So then I had to research and see
it's
which came
Mothman
first.
It's the Mothman you deserve.
Now, something interesting about this, Roger and Linda were living in a trailer house at this time, and after the sighting and the weeks that followed it, they kept hearing strange sounds around their trailer at night, beeps and loud garbling noises. They said that described it as like a sped up phonograph record.
Mm-hmm.
And they were never able to locate the source of the sounds, so they actually ended up moving, and they ended up moving into Linda's parents' basement to get away from these noises,
which is a really
it's
bad
an UFO
really bad
it
upgrade.
Was an UFO
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, we could do a whole episode on UFO sightings with Mothman. And in fact, one of my sources for my information is the MUFON page.
Move on.
MUFON has a whole page dedicated to Mothman.
Wow.
So. Now, there would be over 100 Mothman sightings in the Point Pleasant area in 13 months after this.
One of the things that I saw was after the bridge collapse.
It ceased. Well, after the bridge collapse, they didn't have reports for like 7 years.
One thing that I saw, though, is that after the bridge collapsed, it was more so that they had more up until a month and a half afterwards, and then it ceased, is what I saw.
I saw that they had a huge spike in MIB activity.
Yeah.
After the bridge collapsed.
Tulpas.
Now.
That's what I was thinking, too.
That is actually something that Keel actually addresses in his book. Like, one of the first pages talks about tulpas, and it talks about the manifestation of, there was an old house in Greenwich in New York, and this house was just a normal old house, never had any activity reported until the owner left, and then all of a sudden there was all this haunted activity, and people kept talking about seeing this hooded black shadow figure in their hallway, and you know, around the property. Well, it just so happened that the previous owner was an author. And the author wrote the book, his main character's name was Shadow. And this character wore a black hood and, you know, hung around. So the theory is that the author actually created the tulpa of this character that still haunts this property to the day.
Wow.
Because that energy is still there that he created.
That's
kind of
cool.
So
that is really cool.
This book, like, took me back to other episodes that we'd done. I was like, tulpas, there we go. Poltergeist, there we go. I mean, it was like, okay, well, I guess we're going to just cover everything with Mothman.
Yeah,
well,
so much of this stuff just intertwines together.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Now, on the same night, there was a gentleman, he was a contractor. His name was Newell Petridge. And he was watching TV when the broadcast was interrupted by a static pattern and an insistent buzzing sound. Then he heard a large screeching sound outside. His German Shepherd Bandit started to howl at something by the barn. So he got his flashlight, went out there, and he came face to face with this red-eyed winged creature. Bandit was a trained hunting dog, so he started chasing after the creature. Petridge went in to get his rifle. He came back out. Both the dog and the creature were gone. The dog never returned. So then when he heard the story of the dead dog that same night, he knew it was Bandit, and Bandit never returned home.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's
I read that story too. Yeah.
Sadder.
When I read that, I was like, okay, well, that kind of is confirmation that they saw this dog. Because I was kind of like, what does the dead dog have to do with anything at this point? And then I read this story, and I'm like, oh. And it was when he read the stories of the Scarberry's account of the dog on the side of the road that he's like, that must have been Bandit.
Well, the cool thing is, I'm guessing because of the time, the era it was and everything, is that this stuff was believable and put in the papers. Nowadays, it wouldn't happen, but you got to think, for this guy, this farmer, or contractor, whatever, to see this crazy thing and his dog go missing, and then, you know, the next morning read the paper and it's someone describing exactly what you just saw. It's got to be very good for him just to realize he's not crazy.
Some validation.
Some validation. Like, that wouldn't happen nowadays.
No.
Now,
you see a UFO and then it's like,
no. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Then it just goes in like the National Enquirer or whatever, and it's just like, you know, junk news.
Well, what stinks about that though is like the same exact thing is when there's so many sightings, like what I actually read and whatnot is that what they had said is there was so many more sightings afterwards, but probably even more. But the people that had more sightings wouldn't have came to and was like, hey, by the way, I'm nuts, but here's what I saw. Because no one wants to be like persecuted against for thinking that they saw something. Even if you're in a smaller, town or whatnot, it's just
a lot of what happened too is when the MIBs came in, they started harassing the witnesses.
Yeah.
And, you know, threatening them, and then everybody who witnessed it, I mean, I'll go into this more in depth, they started receiving these weird phone calls.
Yeah, that was
poltergeist activities.
For those people who know the Chernobyl plant and everything in Russia, there was a Mothman sighting around before this. And actually, the government was actually calling people who were witnesses, calling them liars, telling them if they tell anybody, they're going to be killed. And it was the government covering everything up because it was a leak that there was something going on at the nuclear plant. And
Yeah.
That's the same thing that I read on, is that they, like, after the bridge collapse, there was both military and local law enforcement quarantined off the area where the bridge had collapsed, and then turned around and like multiple people just thought that it was a complete cover up. The way they acted towards them, the way they acted towards the citizens that had experienced these experiences and whatnot, it was just like they were almost like, "You're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar." And it's
well, let me tell you, my paranoia level increased drastically while reading about the Mothman. And like helicopters, I like to hear helicopters like over our house for a little bit of extra time, and I'm like,
So we keep talking about the bridge, but we haven't actually got
to the bridge. I think everybody, I think most people know about Mothman and the bridge, but we'll get to
bridge.
It. Now, on November 16th, 1966, Ralph Thomas and his family were at home, along with family friends Marcella Bennett and her baby daughter Tina, as well as Raymond Wamsley and his wife Kathy. They had seen a red light floating over the TNT facility, along with a bunch of other people. It wasn't just them who had seen this light. Now, when the other families were leaving the Thomas house, this is what happened. "It didn't look like a plane," Bennett recalled, "but I just kept walking towards the car. As they approached, something moved on the ground near the car. Mothman, who had been lying on the ground, slowly rose up to stand before the group at his full height. Out of the corner of my eye," Bennett said, "I saw this creature. It was over 6 feet tall, and it looked like a giant bird. But yet, a man. It was standing with its shoulders and its neck hunched over. I just couldn't imagine what I was seeing and panicked. And when I tried to run, I couldn't." Bennett was so shocked she dropped her baby daughter, Tina. Now, one account says that she picked her back up and ran inside. Another account is actually that Mr. Wamsley, I don't know if I'm saying it right, picked up the baby and grabbed her and pulled her inside. She said, "I felt like I was in a trance. Then when I finally was able to get back to my feet, my knees were scuffed, but I finally got a hold of myself. And then I heard the creature flying behind me. I heard its wings. They were flapping. It was a really loud sound." This is the only account that I have of its wings flapping.
So I have a couple of the stories I read and heard. I actually have them flapping their wings, but there's reasonings behind that. Yeah. So.
"Now, Thomas locked the doors and the windows, but Mothman went onto the porch and peered in the window at the family. They called the police, but by the time the police arrived, the creature was gone." Bennett said she was haunted by this encounter, and she believed that Mothman visited her home later on many different occasions. She would hear sounds that she likened to a woman screeching near her isolated home on the edge of town. "It was very frightening," Bennett said. "It was the most frightening experience of my life. I hope I never see it again. I could be driving along, and all of a sudden I could feel something in my back seat, slam on my brakes. It was a presence I will never forget." Now, that is something I heard from a lot of witnesses.
Yeah, one of the stories I have had is almost just the exact same thing.
It just, the feeling they got. Now, John Keel went out exploring. Now, they went out to the TNT, he and Mary Hare, or I can't remember her last name. I have it down in here when I come to it. But she was a local reporter. They were out driving around. They were looking at areas. Well, everybody went back, and he went back out and was driving, and he hit this spot where he just immense fear just took over him. And then he drove about 10 feet and it was gone. So he parked his car and he walked, and there was like a line. As soon as he hit this spot, he just had this immense fear, and he had it until he got to the other side. And then it was gone. And then he panicked because then he had to walk. He knew he had to walk back through it to get to his car. And he said it was like the most intense fear. He said, so it was some kind of a pulse or energy on that stretch of road that he could actually tell where it stopped. And anybody who's done any investigation, like paranormal investigations, cold spots are like that.
Oh yeah.
EMF spikes are like that, where you can, like, if you're somebody who's sensitive and can feel the EMF spikes. I know our mom's old house out by off of 60th. I could feel their thermostat, and it always felt like somebody was staring at me from the hallway. But whenever time I'd walk past the thermostat, it would get really strong, and it was just the EMF that the thermostat was emitting. We actually got an EMF detector and like tested it, and it was high, but I could feel it. And like the hair on my arm would stand up every time I'd walk past it. And it's that kind of a sensation is what he kind of described, of just like that your senses heighten because you feel danger. And I thought it was really interesting that she talks about that kind of a fear, and he talked about driving through it. And
yeah, it's pretty cool.
Now, November 18th, 1966, there were two Point Pleasant firefighters that were visiting the TNT area, and they spotted an unusually huge red-eyed bird.
Now, wait a minute. Earlier, you were talking about there was red lights over the TNT facility.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was checking that out, one rose up from the ground next to him.
Now, the creature rose up from the ground in front of them.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's actually, and the creature has red eyes.
Yeah.
So is that saying that maybe there's multiple of them?
Yeah.
Well, that was part of what was happening. There were a lot of UFO and light anomalies happening in the area at that particular time.
Yeah. They're saying with the lights and over it, that's what rose in front of them.
With her saying it came from the ground, there's a lot of reports of the Mothman, of him coming from the ground to standing like in front of you and then flying off.
For some reason, that's creepier to me than him flying over.
Yeah. It was the fact that like he'd come from like a lane, like be almost like blended in laying in the on the ground or coming from the ground. The story is never actually
specifically,
but well, they would say he would come from the ground to stand in front of you and stare at you, and then he would fly off.
That's one hell of a ghillie suit.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's either one thing, somebody who's trying to scare you.
Yeah, which
they did be smacked upside the head.
Yeah.
Or
it's probably Ashton Kutcher.
You've been pumped.
Way to reference an old TV show. But yeah, it's either somebody who's like trying to scare you, or this creature is actually manifesting right in front of you. Yeah.
It's one of those things. It could be one of those things. It's kind of like a predator to where, I mean, it's got wings that for some reason we tend to see from these stories don't do much. Maybe his wings are actually blending him into the ground, and then
maybe it's like an invisibility suit, and he like wraps himself in it.
I'm thinking maybe it's just like, you know, moth. When they're on trees and stuff, with their wings are actually meant to help them blend in, camouflage into their surroundings.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what the wings are for.
Yeah.
Even horned owls and stuff like that, they got that kind of camouflage. Well, or it could also be the fact that I know you've mentioned this before, how some spirits, they seek to just scare you in order to feed off of your fear.
Yeah.
Like,
and Mothman seems to do that a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
there's not really any reports of him like physically attacking people.
I don't have a lot of close
calls and him like scaring people. Like a lot of him like dive bombing like an eagle would.
Yeah.
But not actually like, making contact with people.
I don't have any touching.
Yeah.
Like he has his rules. He doesn't touch.
That's what makes me think of like Tulpa.
Yeah.
Like it's a manifestation that's feeding off your fear to make itself grow and
very well could be. His whole point is to scare the shit out of you so that he has the energy to manifest and continue on. Now, my next sighting that I have it's like a year later. November 21st, 1967, police were dispatched to the address of Richard West when he called to report a large winged being standing on top of his neighbor's roof. Its wingspan was approximately 8 feet, and it also had red eyes that glowed in the darkness. He said he saw it ascend like a helicopter before it vanished.
Just lifting straight
just
up.
Lifting straight up. No running, flapping.
No, just none of his wings just...
I was just doing hand signals, so I didn't sound like an idiot. But thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
He's just spinning super fast. And then
one of those toys that you pull the string.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what are those called?
I'm just thinking little helicopter things that you hold in your hand and just...
and you launch.
Man. All right. So then on November 25th of the same year, Tom Ury spotted Mothman while he was out driving on Route 62 near the TNT area. I noticed something out of the corner of my eye, he said, from the riverbank. It came up over the trees when I first saw it. It looked like a helicopter coming. Then it came out or came up over the trees, and I could see it was a bird, a huge bird. I estimated the wingspan to be about 10 to 12 feet. I'd never seen anything that large before in my life. I was so scared, but I wasn't terrified. It was a strange feeling. I'd never seen anything like it, and I hope I never do again. It was just unbelievable. He then goes on to say that it unfolded his wings and ascended straight up and then dive-bombed his car. He lost sight of the thing as it flew over the vehicle and raced away. On November 27th, 1967, Connie Carpenter had just left church when she spotted Mothman on her drive home. He was standing on the lawn of a golf course. The gray figure noticed Connie and flew straight at her, coming right up to peer at her face to face. Frightened the woman through her windshield. His weird expression traumatized the poor woman. People think my wife's a kook. Carpenter's husband, Keith, said, "What she's seen, she actually seen. Those eyes, that's all she ever said. Those eyes." Connie would claim the next day that men in black drove up and asked her for directions. She stepped towards the vehicle and he grabbed her. But she got away, but not before he ripped her blouse. The next day, she found a note on her front door. "Be careful. I'll get you yet," the note read.
These men in black people, they are the weirdest encounters you ever hear of.
There's a lot of references to the men in black. And the men in black that were seen in this area all were very similar. They all were slender, tan, Asian-looking people. They were all described the same way. Now, there were a few of them that wore like... thick-soled shoes. There were a few of them that had to take pills. Like, they described them having to take pills after a few minutes of talking to them.
That's actually a lot of cases of men in black, is them having to take pills.
And then there was another one of... he came saying he was a reporter or something like that. And she said, "Can I get you anything?" He said, "I'll need water in about 14 minutes. And then about 14 minutes later, he looked up at her and said, "I can use that water now." But all of them speak very strangely, almost like they don't know how to speak. Like they speak almost drunk, like slurring their words. There was one case where the guy was in there. He was acting really weird. The woman felt awkward, so she went and got her boss. And then the man stole a pen off of her desk and took off running, laughing out the door. And then she saw him again.
Look, it's me, Spring Hill Jack.
Well, there's actually the book references Spring Hill Jack a couple of times.
I got to read this book now.
Talks about how these men in black creatures that were, because they called them creatures, these men in black, some of them reported like nauseous gases, which is something Spring Hill Jack would do. You know, he'd jump out in front of his people and spray nauseous gas in their face or whatnot. Spring Hill Jack is actually mentioned in the book. Now, there's another one that I have that was only in one of my books, and I couldn't find anything about this anywhere else, and I kind of feel like it's a little bit of a BS story, but I thought I'd go ahead and share it, and you guys can take from it what you will. There was an 8-year-old, Andrew Colvin, along with his group of classmates, and they all had an encounter with the Mothman. Shortly after the sightings, the children appeared to become gifted with genius-level IQs. Colvin suddenly developed an unknown aptitude for art and painting, and he eventually became a director and photographer. Another child started to receive prolific visions. He had visions of the September 11th disaster.
What?
He had visions of the September 11th disaster. On September 11th, a disaster would strike New York City, and the event would eventually lead to World War III. After the September 11th attacks, Colvin was so stunned that he devoted his career to investigating Mothman, and he believes that Mothman is an observer of human responses to
catastrophes,
who reports to some higher ups.
Well, that's one of those things I've been reading, that A lot of people see Mothman as a benevolent creature who's actually warning, like, because he's always seen months or weeks before a natural or a big disaster. And some people believe that he's actually there trying to warn people, but because it's this giant red-eyed winged creature, people are more terrified of it and not seeing what he's trying to do. And
well, the reason I didn't totally blow this story off is because he's not the only case of premonitions.
Yeah.
From people in the area. In fact, John Keel had some. John Keel actually was told that the Pope would be going to the Middle East and would be stabbed. Well, the Pope did go to Turkey. He did not get stabbed. But then, like a year later, there was an assassination attempt on his life by a man in a black suit who tried to stab him in an airport, which is exactly what Keel had been told was going to happen. It just happened a year later at a different time.
He didn't realize there was a comma in between his going to the Middle East. Comma.
He's going to get stabbed.
Now, Keel was a journalist and ufologist. So like I said, he was there researching the lights phenomenon and the UFO sightings in the area. There was also an increase in poltergeist activity in the area. People were having TVs burn out, like at an alarming rate. Strange noises, telephone calls. They had weird telephone calls where they'd answer and there'd be nobody there. Or they'd answer their phone and there'd be somebody speaking another language on the other side, other line.
I get those at work all the time.
There were even cases.
Sorry, I'm thinking about how to say the, is your refrigerator running in Spanish? It's like, I can't think of how to structure it.
Well, Keel had some really interesting experiences where he would get phone calls from Mary Hyde, I think Heyer was her name. Mary Heyer, she's the reporter, saying, hey, you know, this, and this. And then he'd call her back. She's like, I never called you. And then there'd be somebody else who would call. And then people would say they got phone calls from John. John's like, I never called you.
Do you remember that story I read about the guy that was receiving phone calls at work?
From himself? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like in the personal stories episode.
Yeah. Well,
kind of makes me think of that kind of
stuff.
Well,
that's kind of was like the time slips kind of get involved here a little bit.
Yeah.
But then there was also cases of he went to the phone company. Actually, the phone company came out to his apartment building and showed him that his lines were not tapped, that his lines were not traced. Everything at the apartment complex was correct. He then went to the phone company and had them show him. And they gave him, I guess there's a code number for every phone line, and they gave him that code number. So he called that number from a payphone, and somebody answered the phone and said, this is John Keel.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah, this is the story he talked about. So he's like, so he called back from a different phone line and said, hi, John, this is John. And the phone hung up on him. So somewhere somebody was tapping into his line somewhere, but it wasn't through his apartment and it wasn't through the phone company.
Government cover up.
He actually went to the FBI about the phone stuff.
Well, they're the ones doing it. They're not going to go. Well,
precisely.
nothing's happening here. Nope.
Now, he even had things where, because, you know, he was a ufologist investigating cases across the country. He would have contactees in Oregon call him and tell him about events that were happening in Point Pleasant.
Yeah.
That would then happen, like, later on. Then, Mary Heyer, the local reporter at Point Pleasant, called John and told him about a dream that she had where she saw people floating in the river along with Christmas presents. And she didn't really know what to make of this.
What in the hell?
And exactly. This was like a month or so before the event.
Okay.
Little did she know that this would be a premonition of the world's, or the most deadly bridge disaster in U.S. history. All right. So now we're going to get dark and sad.
Dun, 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 dun.
On December 15th, 1967, the Silver Bridge that connected Point Pleasant, West Virginia, with Gallipus, Ohio, experienced a failure of the supporting I-bar pin. This happened at 5 o'clock p.m., the busiest time of the day for the bridge. The bridge was completely loaded down with drivers returning home from work and a day of Christmas shopping. The people in the cars crashed into the icy river below. Men, women, and children were trapped inside their vehicles as the bridge fell on top of their cars. Witnesses described hearing a loud boom and seeing the bridge fall into the Ohio River. It took days to pull people out. Some were never recovered.
So I think it was 46 people
46
killed, and two of them have never been found.
Yeah. Witnesses describe seeing bodies and Christmas packages floating in the river, just as Mary had seen in her vision. Many have associated the Mothman with this disaster, and they call him a bringer of death, while others see him as trying to warn people of pending disaster. John Keel seems to associate him with aliens and UFO sightings, but nobody really knows. Some people claim to have seen Mothman on the bridge that
there were
night.
Hundreds of witnesses who believed to see him on top of one of the structures of the bridge.
When the engineers pulled the bridge out of the water, that's when they found the I-bar pin had broken. Now, the bridge was 20, 30 years old. Being in Oklahoma, we've experienced many bridge collapses. I mean, we have really bad infrastructure when it comes to our bridges and overpasses here in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So, collapsed bridges and overpasses happen a lot here. Not to this magnitude. I mean, think about it. Hundreds of people were on this bridge. The fact that it was only 46 that died
is amazing. Yeah.
You know, so.
It baffles me that one weak link can cause this bridge that's, you know, meant to hold hundreds of thousands of pounds can collapse the way it does.
And see, and I don't want to get into conspiracy theories, but I feel the exact same way about the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
Those support beams are designed to hold a lot of weight. And I understand when they go, but I don't know. I've also watched videos of the bridges that sway.
Yeah. Well, it's just one of those things I look at it is like, from the reports I read, like where the T or I pin was or whatever, was like in the center of the bridge. Yet where it broke were towards the ends of each side of the bridge.
Yeah.
And it just baffles me, but that's how the bridge would collapse.
Yeah.
With that being the part that's broken. Still a terrible thing.
Yeah.
But it's one of those, now there's the reports whether it's Mothman's there trying to warn people to scare people from getting on the bridge, and that's why he's there on the bridge. And
well, I do have,
he's there causing the issue.
I have one story from later on where Mothman actually saved lives that I'll talk about in a little bit. So he very well could have been trying to scare people away from the bridge.
So I guarantee you, if I was driving and saw this giant winged creature sitting on the side of the bridge, I'd be stopping my car.
I've seen videos of a creature on top of bridges before that they claim to be Mothman. Whether it is or not, I don't know. But I've seen footage of it. And yeah, it's kind of creepy. First of all, why is somebody on top of a bridge?
I'm sorry, if I saw anything that was... if I saw a person standing on top of a structure on a bridge, I would probably stop in the first place. Like, with the way this bridge was designed and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, if I saw someone standing up there, which one would be hard to see, a Mothman who's 8 feet tall with a wingspan of 12 feet, it's going to be pretty noticeable, I would think.
You would think, yeah.
And, like, I'm sorry, I would cause an accident on the highway stopping because I was not going towards that thing.
Yeah.
What time of day did this happen?
5 p.m.
Rush hour traffic.
Yeah, rush hour traffic.
You said that. Yeah. We can just cut that out then.
No, I'm going to leave it in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's still daylight.
Yeah.
Well, it's 5 p.m. Christmas. So it's
starting to get
twilight-ish.
Dark, but yeah. Also, that was one of the first reports that I had read of him being seen in the daylight.
Yeah.
Almost all the reports I read were him at night.
Yeah.
And that's kind of interesting.
I couldn't find any specific eyewitness accounts of seeing him on the bridge. Just rumors of people seeing him on the bridge.
Supposedly afterwards, like to the police station and everything like that, there were a lot of reports called into the police station of them seeing this creature on the bridge before it collapsed.
But how much of that is actually people seeing it or just the panic and the...
Well, at this point, Mothman's already is known.
The
fact that everyone knows who Mothman is there at this time.
Yeah.
He's already a pretty common sighting. So yeah, it could be someone, people just thinking they saw something. And, you know, it was nothing on the bridge. They just saw it, but...
They just saw the bridge actually collapsing, and they interpreted it as something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't there. It's a very sad story, what happened. And I think the movie, if you've ever seen the movie The Mothman Prophecies, it's a really good movie, and I recommend
it. I actually almost watched that today before coming over, but I decided to do some more research and then fell asleep.
Now... I talked about this, too, I think, in one of our episodes when we were talking about different paranormal shows, and it was maybe the first episode. I rewatched the Paranormal State episode where they go to Point Pleasant, and they take the medium with them. Now, what Chip Coffee says in this episode is he says that what he feels is not human, but it feels like it's of some Native American descent.
Well, Native Americans actually have a lot of, whether it be mythological or, like, godlike creatures that are winged creatures.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it'd be
John Keel goes a lot into ancient. He actually talks about what Eric Von, whatever, from the Chariots of the God book and Ancient Aliens and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. He goes into that a little bit about how ancient civilizations talk about seeing these winged humanoid creatures, and they made them gods or angels or, you know, demons, things of that nature. So he kind of associates Mothman with that in some instances.
Yeah.
So whether he be like an angel of death, that's another theory out there.
Yeah.
I did list some other things that Mothman could be. He could be a stickini.
Could be a stickini.
There are many reports of owlmen across the world, not just...
Some here in Oklahoma.
Some here in Oklahoma, over in Seminole. You should listen to that episode. Stickini and Deer Woman. I think it's episode 4 or 5.
Something like that, yeah. Right after the Wolfman episode.
Thunderbirds. We're going to do an episode on Thunderbirds.
Another Native American.
Spring Hill Jack. We've talked about him already.
Spring Hill Jack!
And John Keel does mention that Mothman could, in fact, be a Spring Hill Jack type character. Those who don't know who Spring Hill Jack is, Spring Hill Jack is a cryptid from the United Kingdom that would jump out and grab women's breasts, and he would jump out and put nauseous gases in people's faces. And
that sounds like my kind of cryptid.
He was a leaper.
Spring-heeled chick.
Where he couldn't fly, but he could jump great really distances.
High, which is the spring-heeled.
Bound buildings in one fall swoop.
Like the Hulk. But much smaller.
Much smaller.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not green.
Damn it.
So actually, nothing like the Hulk.
My dreams.
And he's normally never angry either.
The Jersey Devil. Although the Jersey Devil, we will also have to cover. The Jersey Devil is an interesting one. But it's just another flying humanoid that is in the same general vicinity of the United States. There are many Batman creatures. In fact, we could do a whole episode
on Batman.
On Batman creatures.
Oh,
there are the Batman of Pennsylvania, Missouri, and Chicago. Bat Squatch of Tacoma.
Bat Squatch.
Wisconsin's Batman and the Lacrosse Batman.
Lacrosse?
I am just now picturing Batman with a lacrosse stick.
And a helmet. But with his, like, ears still poking up through the helmet.
I'm thinking his bat suit, but with, like, a lacrosse jersey coloring instead of black. Over it.
We're the bats. Bat Squatch.
I like Bat Squatch. It's like it was
my
favorite.
I'm not the Sand Squatch you want. I'm the Bat Squatch you deserve.
Of course, you also have dragon sightings that still exist to this day.
Those are really interesting. Dragons are awesome.
And you have pterosaur. Sightings. A lot of pterosaur sightings, I think, can be explained Thunderbirds as well, but we'll have to cover that.
There's a couple pictures I saw that were supposed to be video or picture evidence of Mothman. It looks like a pterosaur. No tail, like the way it's flying looks like a pterosaur.
Now, I got a question for you. In our Alien episode about the reptilians.
Yes.
The wings had to do with their social class and their hierarchy. Is maybe that something to do with this Mothman?
That is another theory of mine.
Yeah.
The Draco Royals have wings, but they're usually white.
There is one of the stories that I read that it was a pale figure that was flying over them, but a lot of that is believed because the car lights that was hitting it made it look pale. Yeah. But there's a couple of stories of a pale-like creature as well. So
I totally forgot. Remember that Fact or Faked episode where they did Mothman? And they had a bunch of cutouts that they placed in the woods, and they had people drive by and then ask for the descriptions of the cutouts. Do you remember that episode?
No. Right. But go ahead.
They were trying to debunk Mothman. And I think they pretty much, if I remember correctly, they kind of debunked it as misidentification. Because these cutouts, you know, they had one that was like 3 foot tall and they had one that was like 8 feet tall. And people would just describe them all about the same size based off of where they were at and how their headlights hit it and things like that. It's an interesting episode. Some of the skeptics of Mothman say it's a crane. I've also heard possibility, like I said, there was the sightings of ostriches in the area. We have ostrich farms around here. I don't know if they have ostrich farms in West Virginia, but it could be escaped ostriches. I don't know. Ostriches tend to run and flap wings, though. They don't just shoot up into the sky. I've seen ostriches run and flap their wings. So,
also, I mean, not that they've been that I've known of them being in the United States, but somewhere overseas. I mean, there are bats that are 4-5 feet tall.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Australia might be. And they might have like reddish eyes. They're like fruit bats and stuff. Like they only eat fruit. But they're
bats
large enough
so
to scare people.
Adorable.
They all look bats. Like chihuahuas, though.
We had a little min pin. Our little min pin
was a
wingless bat. Like yeah. I look at pictures of bats and I see our little Trixie. Big old bug eyes sitting on top of her head, and she was like black and tan. A really sharp pointy nose. She looks just like a bat. So there are many other explanations for Mothman. I personally like to think of Mothman as we've described previously, being a moth humanoid character. Whether he's an alien or an entity, could be left for debate. I don't know. What says that aliens aren't, you know, spectral entities?
Yeah.
I mean, our alien episode talked about the telepathic communication. There's lots of people who feel like they heard Mothman speak to them telepathically.
Oh, like I have a story that I was reading that I was going to share. This was a guy, he's actually from like the southern parts of Michigan. One of his friends were hanging out and their parents were gone, and they lived out in kind of like countryside. They said they were going to go on a walk through this old, untraveled road, really. So they started walking home, taking on a walk, and the girl he was with was complaining about she was scared of the Michigan dog man. And, you know, he's talking to her and telling her, oh, you know, it's not real or whatever. And they come across this old abandoned building. And they decided, well, they're going to walk around it, and there's a cornfield behind that, and then it's just the woods back to the house, be the quickest route. It's getting dark. They decided it was time to go home. So they start walking. They go around the building through the cornfield into the forest, and they start getting this presence of something watching them. And they start walking through the forest, and then they start hearing the flapping of wings. And at this point, they kind of start moving a little bit faster. They decide they've got to get back. With one of the flaps of wings, they have this strong wind gust that blows tree limb down, almost hits them. And from that point, they could see the light from the front porch of the house, so they took off running to the front porch. as they got closer to the edge of the forest, they could actually hear footsteps behind them chasing them. So when they got out of the forest, they just sprinted to the front door, didn't look back, closed the door, turned the porch light off. And They crouch down trying to figure out what's going on, you know, freaking out. The parents still weren't home yet. He finally gets the nerve to kind of look out the window. When he does, he sees a 8-foot-tall, dark, grayish figure with bright red eyes and wings standing at the edge of the forest. So he kind of ducked back down, told the girl he's with to stay back down because she was about to get up and look outside. He didn't want her to see it. He got up and started looking out there again. He said he was drawn into the eyes, and he had this sense of security. He didn't feel scared. He felt like everything was fine. He said he started reaching up to unlock the door, and the girl he's with slapped his hand, and he snapped out of it. And
vampires.
Then the parents came home, and he looked back out the window, and it was gone. And he said like 13 months, every couple weeks, he would see it looking like standing in the window, looking through at him, or he would hear things when he was outside. He refused to go outside after dark. He finally gave up and moved to Florida and hasn't seen it since. But
there's actually a bunch of like Michigan cases, like just around like Michigan. So in Michigan and Indiana and Illinois and just all around that area, there have been a lot of sightings in the past year.
Yeah. And this story, I think, was, it didn't have a date on it, but from what the guy was saying, I was thinking it was probably 10, 15 years old. But
now, something else that is really common with those who get sucked into its eyes, they develop conjunctivitis. Pink eye. Really severe cases of it.
Hmm.
In fact, I believe Connie, one of the stories I read about Connie, the young girl, she ended up getting it. And there have been a few other cases of people who actually got sucked into looking into its eyes and ended up with conjunctivitis. Like, deep burns in the eyes is basically what it was.
Mothman just makes me want to believe in vampires.
Well, you're sitting there talking about how it's, like, glimmering him. You know, like, open the door, invite me in. But then again, reptilian.
Yeah.
I'm still not totally out on reptilian.
Red eyes. A lot of vampires were seen with red eyes or a reddish tint to their eyes. You know, humanoid, large wings. Like, maybe vampires aren't like what we see them as. Like,
these are more like the Skyrim back vampires.
Yeah. Not like Dracula, who, you know, turns into a bat. Like, it's actually a humanoid figure with bat wings.
Yeah.
And can.
Now, Mothman did not stop after the bridge collapse.
No, he did not.
Mothman has been sighted multiple times in multiple areas. And I've got a few sightings here that have happened since 1967. The first one was September 10th, 1978. Some miners in Germany, they were heading to their mine to start their day when they saw what they thought was a man in a trench coat standing in the entryway. But as they soon realized as it unfolded its wings that it was in fact a large winged being with bright red eyes. It let out a large screech and the miners took off. About an hour later, the mine collapsed. So this is the case that I had of Mothman actually saving lives.
They're trying to keep this from happening.
Then April 1986. This is what Chad's already talked about here. But April 26, 1986, the Soviet Union, during a test of a reactor number 4 at the Chernobyl nuclear plant, there was an explosion that took place that resulted in a fire and eventually a complete meltdown. Soon after, the town of Papayet, I'm probably saying that wrong, was evacuated due to the harmful radiation. And in the years that followed, Chernobyl is still letting people in
to certain spots,
certain areas. So we're talking 32 years later. But up until this point, there were stories of people witnessing this Mothman type figure.
Yeah, they were calling it the Chernobyl Blackbird.
Yeah. Seeing it around the power plant, even on top of some of the reactors, you know, in that area.
Through town, like through the towns around it.
They even reported harassing nightmares and phone calls just as they had received at Point Pleasant. So there is that one.
That one was interesting, but I'm super interested in Chernobyl. Just the fact, like, how could that happen with no warning? And
well, from what I was reading, they didn't think the fire was that big of a deal.
Well, supposedly there was something else wrong.
Yeah.
And it was covered up because they didn't want the, like, it's like they had skipped some corners when building and didn't want that to be let out. So they just left, kind of made everything quiet about it. and this happened. But like, I don't know, Chernobyl just scares me looking at the photos.
Yeah.
Of like the drones and stuff that have gone through it. It's absolutely terrifying to watch.
Because the town is completely dead, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giant like apartment buildings.
Grown
just
over.
Empty, but you still see kids' toys and clothes and chairs and
did you ever
all
watch,
this stuff laying
there. Was a documentary around 2012? Is that the end of the world? Yeah. Like The World Without Humans. There are a lot of shows like that around that time.
It looks like Chernobyl.
But a lot of the footage was from Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Or Chernobyl.
Well, then there's the movie Chernobyl Diaries, which is a decent found footage film.
I actually watched that.
Decent found footage film, but a lot of the stuff they showing like of the stuff around them is from a drone footage and then recreated. But I could definitely see how Mothman would be sighted around that area.
Yes. I could see how he'd probably live there now.
Yeah.
The next sighting I have is actually September 11th, 2001. People reported seeing a crane-like humanoid flying around the World Trade Center buildings 5 days prior to the terrorist attacks. And there are even some people that report seeing the creatures in the days that followed the attacks as well.
I just got cold chills.
I did too, actually. I'm goosebumps right now. Probably because I remember this one so vividly.
Yeah.
But seeing the creature in the smoke and in the dust flying through it. Then in 2006, I'm still getting chills.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. At least it's not just me. I invited something in, apparently. In 2006, Wisconsin, a father and son saw a large creature with wings and red eyes. They described it as described its screeching and that the creature was able to follow them as they sped away, and described it even as flying backwards, looking into their windshield at one point. The father described the creature as a gray and black with very little hair, more like a bat. He described it as having teeth and wings that were attached to the body. August 1st, 2007, Mothman was reported seen near the site of another bridge collapse. This time at rush hour as well. It was the I-35 bridge, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I actually remember when this happened.
We actually had just been there when it happened,
mm-hmm.
like right before it happened. The bridge gave way, sending people and cars crashing into the river. Only 13 people died and 147 were injured. People report seeing a Mothman-like figure appearing near the bridge about a month before it collapsed. And again, people were dismissing it as a crane or a large heron, just as they did with Point Pleasant. In April 10th, 2009, residents of La Juanita, in the Mexican state of Chihuahua, began seeing a strange creature. He was tall and hairy with two large wings and red bloodshot eyes. One student even reported the creature chasing him relentlessly. Those were 15 minutes of maximum despair, the student said. It was during this time that the area began to see a rise in swine flu cases that were tied to the 2009 swine flu outbreak. There were two other people who proclaimed seeing the creature near an orchard in the same area. Let's see. In 2011, in Japan, people reported seeing Mothman prior to the earthquake. The earthquake followed by the tsunami, followed by the nuclear meltdown. Saw him flying in the days and weeks prior to that disaster. Then on November 20th, 2016, an unidentified man captured an image of what he believed to be Mothman flying over Point Pleasant, West Virginia again. He took pictures as he was driving down Route 6. These pictures I will put on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Snopes. I actually went to Snopes for this one. They could not confirm or deny it.
I would say a lot of the pictures here they took to like professionals, and they couldn't say it was. They were saying it wasn't altered, but they couldn't say it was true.
Legitimate.
Yeah, legitimate. But they said they could, from what they could tell, the photos hadn't been altered at all.
Yeah.
So.
Let's see if I can pull them up real fast.
that's pretty cool.
I would say I was reading just before we did our first cryptid episode that he had been seen around West Virginia again.
Wow.
So that's, can you see it, Dave?
No.
I'm trying.
Can you tilt it this way? All I'm seeing is a glare. Oh, okay. The picture is a glare. Never mind.
It's kind of a blurry picture.
Yeah, okay. It's just a black spot that kind of looks like a bird.
I mean, you can actually vividly see that there's wings there, but the back end of that half...
It doesn't... Well, it looks humanoid, but it doesn't look human either.
Yeah.
The way the knees, the legs and stuff are bent.
Yeah.
Now, there are lots of stories of flying humanoids around Mexico.
Yeah. There's been a large increase in South America right now of humanoid birds or humanoid flying creatures.
Well, in 2017, multiple people report seeing an owl man / Batman / Mothman creature flying around Chicago.
That was right when the riots were starting.
And in fact, there are so many sightings in so many different areas of the city that that authorities believe that there are more than one, because the sightings are happening so close together and so far apart. Like time-wise, they're close together. Location-wise, they're far apart. And you and I have been to Chicago. It's hard to get around in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, if you're flying, you don't have to worry about traffic. Yeah. But
or unless they're, like you were saying, interdimensional beings.
Yeah. Now, there's actually a whole website that I found that just lists sightings in the Lake Michigan area, starting in like 1981, I think, and then like lists every sighting, and then they break it down into UFO or winged being or possible hoax. Like they have it mapped down, and then they have it just listed out, and it's pretty interesting stuff. I didn't go through all of it because I felt like I had a lot of information as it was. But I have definitely heard about the Chicago sightings, and Chicago's had a lot of violence here lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the president has threatened Chicago and all kinds of stuff here lately. So,
just this year, there was reports of Mothman back in West Virginia.
Yeah, that's that those pictures were from Mothman in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was from 2016. There have been ones this year.
Have there?
Of reports of seeing them. No evidence, but reports.
Now, when talking about Mothman being around when disaster strikes, we had May 3rd, 1999, in Moore, Oklahoma, we had the largest tornado on record go through the town.
Yep.
Pretty much wiped out the entire section of town that it went through. Lots of people lost their lives. There are reports of weird light anomalies happening in the area before, during, and after the events. I don't know if there's actually any Mothman sightings, but that would almost be an event that I would even think that.
Because this event, it was very significant in the fact that they had to redo the rating of tornadoes because of it, because the wind speeds were higher than any hurricane ever on record.
Yeah, it was highest wind speeds ever recorded on Earth.
And they were damn near, 400 miles an hour?
It was crazy. But the
tornado, it took a path that was a mile wide, and it destroyed everything.
I'm saying
it
was just
path.
Dirt after.
Yeah, it was just dirt.
Yep. I knew a lot of people that lived in Moore at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Our
sister was living up there.
Yeah, well, her apartment complex was destroyed. There were no walls, but her countertop was there. Dollar General bag was sitting on her counter where she left it. No walls around the entire house, the apartment, but that sack was still there. So, tornadoes are weird. And since then, we've had 3-4 that size. Not as devastating as that one.
I mean, we have the one that went through Moore that hit,
we have the May 20th that followed the same path.
There was the May 5th, May 8th, May 10th, and May 30th.
20th.
And then there's the 30th too. The 30th hit El Reno.
Yeah.
Because it's the one that killed the guys from the Storm Chaser show.
Yeah, because they were told to go. Yeah.
Well, because the stupid weathermen told people to get in their car and drive south.
And they drove just right into it.
Then just blocked all the highways so nobody could get anywhere, and then it went right past everybody.
Yeah.
Yep.
That same
Mother
weatherman.
Nature's a bitch.
Still has his job somehow, too. But we digress. But
smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.
But there are Mothman reportings all throughout the world.
Yeah.
Not just in the United States.
Well, I said Germany and Chernobyl and Japan. So this creature either gets around or there's multiple.
And again, this could all just be the same thing, just with a different name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dave got me a new book. So someone went diamonds. I want Monsters in America books. but it's American Monsters, and it has 125 pages of flying humanoids in America alone.
Yeah.
And a lot of this to me goes, well, how many of these are actually just all the same creatures?
Yeah.
Especially with all the Batmans and Owlmans. Owlman and Owlman. There we go.
And there's, I mean, also, if you want to look at it in, like, the scientific way, like, how, what's the chance of this actually just being a creature that we've just never, it's been secluded enough that's never been noticed?
Yeah.
But with how we're tearing down these forests and its home, that it's now starting to travel more into
populated areas.
That's also another thing to go about, like, certain species of a lot of both marine biology and mammal biology has been moving in and out of the forest, both with insects and whatnot, too. With the climate changes and the, I mean, all this other kind of stuff that goes on, new species have been discovered that thought either were extinct or had never been seen before.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it could just be an evolutionary, or an evolution of a certain creature we already know about, but it's just not well known enough and hasn't been captured that we don't know what it is.
You're also talking, this is a creature that's been spotted near nuclear sites and chemical plants and things of that nature. Think of the Montauk Monster.
Yeah.
And, you know, what they said, it's a boxer. Is what they came out and said, it was a boxer.
Skinless, or hairless boxer with no lips. And
which I know with military munitions. Now, I don't know about ones made in the World War II era, but modern day ones, they're completely full of uranium.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things when you got back from Iraq, they had to test your exposure to uranium.
Yeah.
So,
and I tested very high.
Little known fact that a lot of soldiers that return that have children within the first few years have female children.
Yep.
Due to the depleted uranium.
Oh.
Uranium miners, too, all have female children.
Just so happens that our firstborn is a daughter. But also, then again, that's how our family works. Our family is all girl, then boy.
Chad.
He'll have a girl first.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how it happens.
I thought you were saying, asking if I was a girl. I was, no?
No, your facial hair kind of defeats that whole idea.
Body hair
taking
in
hormones?
General. Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking, is this an actual creature that's just mutated some way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole comic book series based off of mutants, right? Who says that's not happening? And we just don't see it yet.
Yeah. It'd be really actually... not nice, because I'm not cool with, like, animal experiments and stuff like that, but it would be kind of cool to see the effects on what, not so much pollution, but, like, toxic amounts
of nuclear waste and stuff like that.
Nuclear waste does to an animal. Like, not so much to where it would
Godzilla.
Kill them. Godzilla! Man. Tell you what, Ninja Turtles wouldn't exist without that stuff either. I'm just saying.
I say we will never know, because it will always be covered up.
Yeah. Yep.
That's one of those things. It's like, I wonder, like, maybe they've captured a Mothman and we just don't know.
In Kiel's book, he talks about how the aliens are, well, first of all, the aliens are assholes.
That's a given.
because these aliens will tell people...
aliens like assholes.
Or both. These aliens were telling people that, you know, the end of the world is coming on this day and this is going to happen. And so, you know, people go and they sit on their mountaintops waiting for the end of the world and then nothing happens. You see this in death cults across the country or across the world. And these were premonitions or aliens telling these people that these things were happening while yada, yada, yada. If this is the case, that's why they're assholes. It's because they do it just to see what we do.
But what if this is going with a time traveler theory you were talking about earlier?
With the Men in Black. This was off the, Black. We didn't talk about
this. Well, no, so it wasn't on the podcast. We were talking about outside earlier. What if the aliens are telling them that this is going to be the end of the world?
And then the time travelers come in and change
things. Are coming back. People are coming back and changing small in small events in history.
Berenstain Bears. Yeah, that's
the whole Mandela effect kind of thing. Maybe that's what it is. But like maybe the Mothman has come and actually stopped a few large events that would cause the world to end at this certain date. And so when it doesn't happen, we all think, oh, they're just full of, they're brainwashed idiots. What if they were told the truth and they just believed it, but things have changed and the world doesn't end this date anymore?
Now, that textbook you were talking about where it said Nelson Mandela had died and a certain peace treaty ran out.
Yeah.
Maybe it goes along the lines of that. If something different would have happened with that peace treaty, maybe it would have had more dire consequences than it
very well could have been.
So that goes good with that theory you're
talking about. Anybody who has listened to...
I just made that up, by the way, but I kind of like it.
Right.
We all have a podcast that we listen to that we love, and that's Last Podcast on the Left. Very popular. Number one in Oklahoma.
Number one in our hearts.
Yes. In fact, I am wearing my Ben Kissel for President shirt right now as we do this. But they do an episode on Men in Black where they talk about time crime. And they, you know, they make a big joke about it and all this stuff. But I really see, especially after doing the research on this episode.
With all the Men in Black.
With all the Men in Black in Point Pleasant around Mothman. And they're telling people, don't talk about it. You know, don't report about it. But they're not telling them why. They're just saying, don't do it. And it's like, could it very well be that these are really time travelers that are coming back to try to stop Moth? Maybe Mothman's a rogue time traveler.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to stop him from changing things, and they're trying to get to him before.
That's why he's humanoid, because the way the world has evolved in his time, he's, you know, humans have created wings and.
Well, he's just got a jetpack on.
Yeah,
he's just got a jetpack on, and then he's got a glider.
You're ruining my idea of the fact that we have evolved into these cool creatures, and he's just the only one with the power to travel.
So dinosaurs turn into birds, and then humans turn into birds?
Exactly.
Is that what's happening?
It's how we come full circle.
I see.
Jesus. Although the depiction of what he looks like has been shown multiple times in any Scooby-Doo, every Scooby-Doo episode that involves Batman or...
Well, you know, some pictures, they don't show Mothman with a neck. He has no neck. He's just like all neck.
There's some that he doesn't have arms.
I have no neck.
Somewhere he has no arms, that his wings are his arms.
Yeah.
But then a lot of the reported sightings that I was reading about is he has like long skinny arms and legs and then wings off of his back.
Yeah.
And humanoid...
Which is more of a draconian thing.
Yeah, but humanoid body... Muscular body.
Very muscular legs. That's one thing that Linda Scarberry commented on multiple times was how muscular his legs were.
He don't skip leg day.
Arm day, yes.
Obviously
day
skips wing day, though, because he doesn't fly using his wings.
So. Well, I mean, he's so strong with his legs. Yeah.
So maybe he's more of like a leaper and a glider.
Yeah, that's very possible.
You know, they talked about him. He could very well be a Spring-Heeled Jack type creature.
Yeah, but he can glide.
I did have a story from 2008, though. Can I share that?
Okay.
No.
All right. In 2008, there was a couple who headed out to the Point Pleasant area just as a getaway. It was the first time they had a day off to share, so that's what they did. As they were headed to Point Pleasant, they stopped for directions and instead got a handwritten map to an area that was pinpointed to contain a lot of paranormal activity. So they already kind of knew about the Mothman and the origin and whatnot. They were just going out there to have a good time, but it kind of turned into something completely different.
Sounds like one of me and Amy's road trips.
You say there's a ghost, huh?
Well, that's exactly when we went to southeastern Oklahoma. We were looking for Bigfoot.
Nice. That would have been fun. Grab some beef jerky, you know, because the yeah.
Jack
yeah.
Links. Sketch watch.
Like. Squint. When you do that, because I've seen those commercials. I just want to see you get punted by Sasquatch.
Oh, my gosh. That's probably what would happen, too.
And we do. We go to haunted places and things like that. Like, we got kicked out of the Griffin Park because of we're taking pictures of the buildings at Griffin Memorial.
That's awesome. When they arrived to the specific area, an eerie feeling fell over them. They still chose to go forward. The man pulled out a voice recorder. They didn't actually specifically say the names. Actually, they did. I just forgot. So for this instance, we're going to call them Sam and Sarah, okay? Sam pulled out a voice recorder to document the experience. He started to ask the Mothman to make his presence known. You know, why are you here? Basically the same thing you would ask if you were trying to do a paranormal investigation on a haunted home. Why are you here? What has made your existence so prevalent here? You know, all this other kind of stuff. He started to ask the Mothman to make his presence known. Why are you here, etc. Sarah took over the questioning after there was no response, then later gave up and headed back into town. They didn't think anything of it, more so of it being just a hoax. When they arrived to town to their hotel room, they listened to the voice recording. What they found was shocking. They claimed that it was a very quiet. They claimed that it was very quiet in the forest when they were recording and when they were asking questions. When they play it back, they heard a deep voice reply, "I am here." This is also among like very much static, and it shook them to their core. Just then, the woman's phone rang. When she answered, there was nothing but static. Then they heard the voice say it again, "I am here." They looked confused at each other because they were like, is this coming from the voice recording or the phone? She hung up the phone and everything was fine. Then they heard the voice say it again, "I am here." The phone rang another time. This time, the man answered the phone and again was static. Yet again, the voice sounded out through the static, "I am here." Now, it further goes on. This is the part that I actually remember that didn't actually save on my phone is that the woman ran inside. And the guy stayed outside and was just listening to it over and over and over and over again to see if he was hearing what it was saying. And they look out, and there's like a tree line. And among the tree line, they see red eyes. Or he says sees red eyes, calls in to Sarah, and Sarah comes out, and it's gone. But what he thinks happened is that when they were asking questions in the specific area, when they were asking questions, it followed them. And it was in the middle of the day. He said that they got there at like around noon. It was in the middle of the day. They got back into town around 3 or 4 o'clock. And then into the evening after dinner, went back, listened to the recording, and it followed them there. And they stayed in Point Pleasant, which, I mean, between that area and Point Pleasant, it's not a far distance whatsoever. Well,
it's all part of Point Pleasant.
Exactly. Yeah. But I thought that was really, 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 really creepy. So much so that I stopped listening to that particular story and just...
Do we have a copy of this voicemail?
I did look for it and I could not find one.
Okay. Which is kind of irritating. Anyone else really interested in the fact that he has abilities to jam electronical signals?
Yeah, I was actually just thinking about that, and I was thinking about
these reports of TVs,
phones,
radios, phones, all going static. And
it's a lot more paranormal than, I mean, I don't know, man. Like what they said that they felt was like almost an evil demonic, like just, you know, aura, but that could also just their fear of being manifested into something like that.
Well, see, when you're telling that story, my thought process goes, this is kind of like a demon in the sense that they called to it and it came.
Yeah.
Okay. In that instance, is it actually Mothman, or is it maybe some entity that's now taking over in that area?
Yeah.
Because there's this void for it now because everybody saw it. I'm getting chills talking about it.
Everybody, I've been getting chills all night.
Everybody saw it, and so there's the energy there and the fear there, so something has gone to fill that void.
And it has food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because now people come from all over.
That's a good point.
People come from all over the world to go to Point Pleasant, Wisconsin, or to Point Pleasant, West Virginia, to see Mothman, which hasn't really been cited officially, you know, in decades. And so now there's this void. So other entities are taking hold because original Mothman didn't come when called.
No. Mm-mm.
He showed up when he wanted to be there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's also the thing with, just if we're going this way, with so many cryptids.
Yeah.
What is it that's saying that, you know, Bigfoot has been seen, but people go and ask for it and they believe they're seeing things and all this, but it's really something else that they're bringing or they're seeing and all that. That's just it mimicking.
It's almost like creatures. It's almost like using a, well, I mean, in this context, it's almost like using a Ouija board to talk to your dead relatives, but yet you're letting something completely evil in.
Yeah.
And as long as you have the fear there, that's all I need to
exactly
to thrive on that. And I mean, just
I would be terrified of Mothman, but at the same time, from at least from all our research, there's been no physical attacks.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't be. I guess I'd be scared a little bit, but I wouldn't be terrified.
Then again, there are no reported incidents
because they're disappearing. Never were seen. Yeah, disappearances.
There. I mean, national parks in the area. Anybody missing in those national parks? I'm just saying. but yes, with the accounts that I've heard. Unless he admits, like, not admits, but he emits the energy of to make people fear.
Mm-hmm.
I would, at this point, if Mothman would be standing on the front porch when we go out for you guys to have your smoke break.
I mean, yes, I'd be
scared. Be a little startled, but it'd be kind of like, awesome.
I'd be scared. I would need
your signature.
We were talking earlier about how we'd fangirl out of the Men in Black showed up on our porch one day.
Well, technically, he talked about his pants down. So,
no, you brought that up. I just played with it.
Yeah, you did.
We'd be like, Men in Black. Oh my God, you're real. Can you totally sign this?
Are you aliens? Are you time travelers?
What are you? But, tell us what you are.
Like, it'd be one of those things of like seeing like a dangerous creature where like you get that tense, scared feeling, but then you'd be like, oh, that's awesome. Like, seeing, like, a tiger at the zoo, you know, if you saw it out of a cage, you'd be like, oh, God. Oh, but it's so cool. I want to touch it.
I don't know if that's where I would go with a tiger out of a cage.
No, because, like, the reason why you, well, when,
I don't know, I'd go all Steve Irwin with it. Oh, it's...
Good, dude.
Oh, crikey. It's a wild Mothman. I'm going to touch it. Oh, he's angry. He's angry.
Look at his bum. Yes. Chad would be probing Mom.
So you eat dead dogs, huh?
Yep. You know what? You don't have cancer.
So one thing is like the analogy of the tiger. Like the thing is that especially like with me, I don't get spooked very easily. But like if the situation of like, so if you have a tiger in a cage, you have that security of there being a fence around it, right? So you throw yourself into a area where there is no fence and there is no their guard. If I walked outside,
I'm not saying like it's gonna attack, like close enough it's gonna attack you. But like I'm saying, if you go on an African safari, which
we've just moved from the zoo to
no, well I was saying the zoo because like as well I said at the zoo you'd see one you'd be like. Oh, that's really cool, but you don't have that sense of fear.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
If you saw one out of a cage, you would have that sense of fear.
You'd crap yourself.
But then you would still be kind of excited and interested.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of
like what I was saying. See, not like it got out of the cage at the zoo. That was not the what I was going.
That did happen at our zoo.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible.
At the zoo around here, the tiger gets out quite often.
It's a normal occurrence.
Oh. But
Shere Khan got out again.
Well, you know...
Where's Mowgli?
It's kind of like if you see a ghost. I mean, everybody but Dave has seen an apparition, or what we assume was an apparition. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's that moment of, holy shit, what's happening? Then there's that moment of,
I want to touch
it. Cool. At least for me, that's what it was. Like, when I realized that I was actually looking at an apparition, I was like, this is awesome. Then I tried to start debunking it, and I started like going into investigation mode.
Yeah.
Well, half asleep, laying in bed. And then it turned to look at me, and I freaked out.
That's how you'd be with Mothman. You'd be like, oh, my God, it's so cool. Oh, God, he's looking at me.
It burns.
Amy would just close her eyes, lift her shoulders up, and go, it can't see me, it can't see me, it can't see me.
That's totally my
fight. That's a T-Rex, like home.
That's a T-Rex, by the way, Amy.
So my fight or flight is that of the T-Rex?
You, no, your fight or flight would save you against the T-Rex.
I am a twig. I am a twig. I am a twig.
So if Jurassic Park ever happens, all I have to do is go.
If you don't move, they can't see you. They have terrible eyesight.
He would know this. He's a paleontologist.
I think that's going to do it for our Mothman episode for tonight.
Say it's never enough of Mothman, but enough for an episode.
I think we can spin off of Mothman and go into some other stuff as well. So I'm looking forward to that. If you like us, we ask that you go to patreon.com/UMPNormalcy and donate. Just $1 gets you bonus content. I'm really far behind on getting bonus content out. I apologize. I'm going to release a whole bunch of stuff all at once, I think. You can always like us, follow us, DM us, email us. We're on all the social medias at UMP Normalcy. And you can email us at umpnormalcy@gmail.com. Oh, I think Chad still needs some Twitter followers.
I do. I think we're losing them.
Chad, you don't tweet enough. Tweet more.
I'm wondering what the podcast is up to. Oh, they're playing Pokemon Let's Go. Oh, they're playing Overwatch. Oh, he's pooping. Oh, he's watching Netflix. Oh, he's masturbating. Hey, I don't think people want to know all this about me.
I think as I Chad just learned way quietly. Too much. So, with that, I'm going to leave you with pictures of Chad in your head.
Hey, he's a good-looking guy, right? He's not that bad.
Just take a picture of the wolf, man. You're good.
All right. Well, I guess until next week.
Keep digging.
Duh, duh, duh.